Good morning, church. It is great to see those of you who are online, who have commented and checked in. I just love to see that. Thank you for your patience and waiting for the actual video to start. And I also noticed we have a couple of quote-unquote visitors watching with us, some people who maybe don't normally attend, and that has been a great blessing of doing these videos. So welcome, especially to all of you. Make sure that all of you who are members, you say hi in the comments to one another and spend some time in this digital fellowship. We are hoping and praying that we are going to be able to be physically back together soon. But until then, we are glad to be able to share in God's Word together in this format. And I know I look forward to it every Sunday. Excuse me. I want to just let you know that we do have our videos also for the evening. We do a Sunday evening lesson around 5 p.m. and then a Wednesday evening lesson at 7 as well. So we would welcome you to tune into those as well if that would be something that is helpful to you. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy to get started. So grab a Bible, find a copy of God's Word somewhere or find it on your phone or something like that. And open up God's Word to this great book near the end of your New Testament, 2 Timothy. And we'll be in chapter 3. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then we're going to get started. Father, I thank you so much that you are an awesome and powerful God. I thank you for your Word and for the truth that you have given us in your Scriptures. And Father, I thank you that you have chosen to give us a message, to give us a word for you. Father, we don't have to just wander around blindly asking, what does God desire? What does God want from us? You have told us and you have shown us through your Scriptures. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us all to grow closer to you, to have a deeper understanding and knowledge of your word through this time. I pray, Father, that you'd be with me as I preach and as I teach this morning. Please help me to say what you would have me to say. And please use my words to encourage and build up those who are listening. Father, if there are those listening who are not yet saved, I pray that you would stir within their hearts this desire to know you more, to strive deeper with you, and to learn what they need to do from your Scripture. Father, we acknowledge that during this time we long to be together as a group. Many of us are getting tired of being in our houses and that sort of thing. But Father, we also know many people are suffering with this disease, with the coronavirus, and with many other things. And so, Father, we pray that we would be patient, that you would comfort those who are afflicted, and Father, that you would bring all of us out of this very quickly and very soon. We love you, God. We trust in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible has been the most popular and the best-selling book in human history. It's been translated into more languages than any other book. And the Bible has been written about, taught, and debated probably more than any other book. Yet for many people, the Bible also simply is the world's most popular paperweight. You know, we get copies of God's Word and we kind of set it and forget it. And very often, we do not spend the time in God's Word that we really need to in order to grow and to be edified as people. Many people look at the Bible and they say, it's something I just can't grasp, I can't understand. I remember speaking with a woman one time and we were having a Bible study and she said, I'm just too dumb for this. Right? I just can't get it. I just can't understand it. There are other people who think that the Bible is just irrelevant. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with my life. It's kind of pointless, it's worthless, we might think. And so we don't spend time looking at God's Word. But I want us to discuss for a little bit this morning, what does the Bible say about itself? What does the Bible teach us about about itself, about what it is, about the message that it contains. You know, I've been sharing with you some messages on Sunday morning in which we are looking at the idea of growing closer to God, even during this time in which we are physically apart. And I believe that the Bible is going to make a huge difference in whether or not we use this time to draw closer to God, closer with, closer to Him and having a stronger faith, or if we simply use this time to maybe grow complacent. You see, what we believe about the Bible and what we do with it could make the difference between a deeper walk with God or a faltering faith. If we truly want to draw closer to God and be closer to the Father, we must learn to listen to His voice in His Word. And so let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." Now, I want you to notice a couple things from these verses. And the first thing I want to tell you to do, if you want to draw closer to God through His Word, is simply to listen to His breath. Say, what? Listen to His breath? What are you talking about? Well, you know, one of the most amazing things that I've noticed, and I even noticed it when my children were very young, when they were newborns, is that there is this special connection between a mother and her newborn child. A connection that I think is deeper than even, you know, the connection of the father with the child or anyone else with the child. And one of the things that's amazing is that sometimes, although this doesn't work all the time, but sometimes a child can be calmed down simply by being held close to their mother. By having their face pressed up against their mother's chest, they hear their mother's heartbeat, they feel and hear that gentle breathing. And these are some of the few things that, some of the few memories that may carry on from inside the womb till after they are born. That sound of the mother's heartbeat and the mother's breath. It's such a comforting sound for that newborn child. For us as Christians, as children of God, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to draw close to the Father and hear and feel that gentle breathing of our Creator? Of the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. Well, in our passage here in 2 Timothy, some of your translations will tell us that all Scripture is inspired by God, or it's given by the inspiration of God. We may read that and we might think, oh, you know what? I saw a beautiful sunset. I was inspired to write a poem. I was inspired to take a photo of it or paint a picture or something like that. But that's not really the idea of the word here. Here we are told that the Scripture is not just inspired by God, but literally in the Greek, it is breathed out by God. It is a compound Greek word that combines the word theo, which means God, and the Greek word for breath or breathing. Some of your translations will even say that the Word of God, all Scripture, is breathed out by God. So if we want to listen to the gentle sound of God's breath, we do it by opening up His Scripture and reading the words that came to life through God's breathing. It's amazing to me when you think about this concept in Scripture of the breath of God or the wind of God. It is a word that is often equated with the Holy Spirit. There's kind of a play on words in John chapter 3 when Jesus says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases, so it is with the Spirit." We are told in Genesis chapter 1 that man became a living being when God breathed into him the breath of life. And so God's breath is a powerful thing. Our Scriptures have been given to us by God, by the Holy Spirit, through His powerful breath. And so it's important for us to understand that when we open up our Bibles to hear from God, to read His Word, we are getting something that came from God and not from man. Now, it is true that God used men to write down His Scriptures. God used men like Moses, like David, like Isaiah, like Paul, like John, like Peter. God used all these different people to write down His words, but ultimately, these words came from God. They came from Him through men to us. And so when you pick up your Bible and you read it, you are not just reading some man's idea or opinion or thoughts. You are reading the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, it says, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." We believe that the Bible came from God, not from man. Well, what does that mean for us? It means that when we open up the Scriptures and we study it and we read it, we cannot say, "I don't like this part, I don't like that part, this part is false, that part is inaccurate, because, that part I don't agree with." No, it is God's Word. I remember getting into a discussion with someone, and I won't get into the specifics, but we were looking at a certain topic, and I turned to one of the letters of Paul, I think it was 1 Timothy, and I read a scripture that defended my point, and they said, "Well, of course that guy would say that. That's a man. It was written by a man." Well, it was written through a man, but it was God-breathed, inspired scripture. And so if we are going to listen to God, we must listen to the word that came from God. But we also need to listen to what is profitable, for what is good for us. If we continue reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable." A word that means it's useful, it's good for us, it is something that is relevant to our lives. So many people, they look at the Bible, I think, without really reading it, and they say it's just pointless, it's just irrelevant, it's not something that is going to benefit or help me. Well, here we are told that all Scripture, notice that word all Scripture is profitable for us. All Scripture is useful, all Scripture is necessary, is needed. You know, there are so many things that do not profit us in this world, or only profit us a little. I think of the scripture that says, you know, bodily training profits a little, but training unto godliness has profit for this life and the next. There are so many things in this world we can get caught up in that may be good things, they may be beneficial things, but they may not be eternal things. They may not be things that are really going to have an impact on our souls for eternity, in which we are living with God. So many of you know, I recently moved. My wife and I, we had the great blessing and privilege of, even during a pandemic, being able to purchase our first home. And because we're stuck at home, we've got a lot of time on our hands, and so we're doing a lot of projects. You know, I've been spending time packing and then unpacking. painting, working, cleaning, doing various household projects, planting grass seed, all these things. I've been spending time doing all these things. Now, are those things profitable for us? Well, to some degree, yes. Right? It's nice to be able to get the house in order. You know, it's good for us to do these things. It's not wrong. It's not sinful in any way. But what I need to keep in mind, and I think sometimes the trap that I've maybe fallen into, is that I've gotten so focused on these temporary things, these things that profit just a little bit, that sometimes I have allowed it to pull me away from the thing that profits for eternity. And I have to confess to you all right now that, of course, I've been preaching this series trying to draw us all closer to God, and all the while I have been having my own struggle by being pulled and distracted by these other things. And so I need to remember, as maybe we all do, that there is something that is profitable for us, and that is the Word of God. Now notice how it is profitable. He says that it is profitable, or it is good and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. God's word is profitable for us in teaching. That's the idea of doctrine. It's the idea of showing us what is true, showing us what is right, what we are to believe, and consequently, what we are to do. I've said it many, many times, but our belief affects our behavior. If we want to live the right way, we've got to believe the right way. If I want to follow God, I've got to know what God desires. And I do that by looking at His Word, by being taught from His Word. But not only is it profitable for teaching, it's profitable for reproof. This is the idea of showing us our error. It shows us where we are wrong, maybe where we have gone astray. But also, it's profitable for correction, for showing us the right way, the way we are supposed to go, and for training us in righteousness. That's the idea of discipline, of learning to be righteous, of maybe training and preparing ourselves for something. A lot of people have been having to assist their children in learning from home during this time that they would normally be in school. And I think a good way to think about this would be maybe in teaching a child to do math. And I use math because that was the subject I hated the most. So I'll go ahead and use that one. In order for a child to learn how to do something in math, they've got to first be taught. You know, they have to be shown, here's what you do. Right? You know, you line up your numbers and columns. Maybe, you know, you carry the one, you add, subtract, you multiply, you divide, you do whatever you need to do. You teach the child what is the right way to do it. But then maybe the child is working on some of their homework and you see they've made an error. The reproof would be saying, hey, here's a mistake. Here's something that needs corrected. The correction would be helping them to get it right. Maybe showing them not just here's an error, but here's how you could do it the right way. And the training in righteousness would be the idea of repetition, of practice, of saying, here's a list of problems for you to work on so that you can hone this skill and get it together perfectly. God's word is profitable in that it teaches, it reproves, it corrects, and it trains us in righteousness. But one last thing. We listen to God's word. We listen to what profits, and we listen to what is needed for us. What is essential. It says that God's scripture is profitable for these things. And then in verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. It is God's word, and it is God's word alone that gives us what we need to live a life of godliness. Turn over to 2 Peter once again, chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, it says, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now listen to this. God's divine power has given us all we need for life and godliness. Now on its own, you might look at that and say, okay, well, what does that mean? What is God's power? Is he talking about miracles? Is he talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit and running around and falling down on the floor and shaking and doing all these things? No. He's not talking about any of that. It says God's divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. It is through the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of God, that we are given what we need. Well, how do I get the knowledge of God? I open up His Word. I read. I study. I meditate. I memorize. I look at His Word and I understand who He is and what He's called me to do. And here in 2 Timothy, we are told that the man of God is made complete. He's not lacking in anything. And he is equipped for every good work. And that happens through the Word of God. You see, we don't need the Bible plus our tradition. We don't need the Bible plus the preacher or even, dare I say, Ben Driver's interpretation. We don't need the Bible plus the Pope. We don't need the Bible plus the creeds. We don't need the Bible plus whatever my denomination teaches or says I need to believe. All we need is the Bible. All we need is God's Word. And I try very, very hard to be a preacher who simply looks at God's Word, studies it, and tells you what is there. And if ever I am in error, call me out. Let me know. Do it with gentleness, please. But let me know if I am in error. If I have strayed from God's Word and God's Word alone. Because it is God's Word that completes us. It is God's Word that equips us, that gives me everything I need to be a man equipped for every good work. No matter what good work we may think about, whether it is serving one another, whether it is maybe getting up and leading songs when we're able to assemble once again, whether it is preaching a sermon, whether it is giving to those who are poor or in need of something, whatever it is, whatever good work we may think about, it is God's Word that spiritually equips us and makes us complete to be able to carry that good word out. The King James Version would use the phrase here, thoroughly furnished. We are given everything we need. You know, maybe you think about completing some project. Maybe you're working on your car, you're working on your home, something like that. And you realize, I just don't have the tool that I need to complete this project. And either you find someone who has the tool and you borrow it, or you rent it, or you go out and buy a tool to do this, or you just hire someone who has the tools. But either way, the job won't get done unless you have the right tools in your tool belt. And God's Word tells us that it is His Word and His Word alone that puts those tools in our tool belt, that gives us what we need to live the life that God has called us to live. And I think that almost everyone watching, hopefully everyone watching, would say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow in His steps. Well, in order to do that, we need to be people who open up God's Word, who study it, and who share it with each other. And so I hope that you will spend some time digging deep into God's Word. I hope that you will come to God's Word with the understanding that it is His Word, not man's. I hope that you will come to it with the attitude that says, God's word is profitable. It gives me the things that I need. It will make a difference in my life. It's never a waste of time. And I hope that you will come to God's word with the understanding that it is all I need to follow Him and to serve Him. If you do not yet know Jesus Christ, if you've never been saved by Him, don't simply ask a man or a group or Google what you need to do to be saved. Open up your Bible, study God's Word, and read it for yourself. The Bible tells us that in order to be saved, we must hear God's Word. We're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God or by the Word of Christ. If I'm going to have faith, I need to open up God's Word. I need to study it. We are told in God's Word that based on that faith, based on that belief that we have, we make a confession with our mouth. We are told that we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth, and we will be saved. But not only that, the Bible tells us that if we are to be saved, that we need to repent. That is a turning away from our sin and turning towards God. And the Bible tells us to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the people there ask what we need to be do, and Peter, through the Holy Spirit, says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible tells us that if we are to be saved, we must continue to follow God. He who endures till the end will be saved. Those are things that the Bible teaches, that the Bible tells us. So don't go by what man says. Don't go by what your denomination says. Don't go by what you've heard. Look at these things for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Study it in God's word. If you want help with that, I would love to share more scriptures with you and look at this in more depth. Please give our church building a call. Send us a message on Facebook. Send us an email. I would love to help you with that. Please, if you are not sure about your state, about your salvation, study God's word and look at what He actually says you need to do. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm going to close our time in prayer, and then we'll finish up this video. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your word, for its truth, for its power in our lives. Father, I pray that you would use your word in a mighty and powerful way, that you would build us up, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to follow your word and your word alone. Father, if I have ever strayed from your word in my preaching and my teaching, please, Father, forgive me and help me to correct those things. Father, draw us closer to you. Help us to encourage one another, to lift us up. I thank you for each and every person who watched the sermon, who maybe will watch after it is posted. And Father, I pray for those who for some reason couldn't view this. I pray that you would strengthen them and help them as well to be in your word, to study it, and to learn from it. We love you so much. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Tonight at 5 p.m., we're going to have a lesson giving 8 Bible study tips. And so if you want to get some good tips and some practical advice for studying your Bible, join us tonight at 5 p.m. We look forward to seeing you there. Have a great Lord's Day.